from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that's snuggled up cozy in a sweatshirt right now. Because, baby, if it's cold outside, it's warm in here. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I also want to thank Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who did our theme music and edited this episode. Jonathan Mann is on our lullabies. Scotty and Jennifer, honor, honor, honor our work. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter. And listeners have their own Facebook group, Isco Snores, over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. I want to thank Stacy, Lauren, Keith, Summer and Sarah, Julie and Jennifer, and that's it. Let's get on with the show. All right, hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. When your mind goes blank in public, that does impact me at bedtime. But whatever's keeping you awake, it could be anything. And some people might say, well, it's such a small thing to keep you awake. Not on this podcast. It's whatever it is that's important to me. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm smoothing out this safe place. And I'm glad you're here. I hope you feel welcome. Come on. You know, there's space for everybody here. And this is the only private communal space with privacy. Or communal space, if you need it. You know, it's introverts, extroverts, and metaverts, as I declared myself a while ago. You're here. That was kind of a new tangential intro part, but I'm glad you're here. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Wings of pointlessness, and circular logic, ovular logic, oblong, and oblong. I don't know if that was Long Island or oblong, but I don't do really any imitations or whatever those are called. I'm blushing because I said, well, I should have just kept going after I said oblong. I don't even know if that's what I said, but I will use it like all those things. Getting embarrassed and mixed up like a kid, like after his haircut, I say, I got my haircut here. Oh, yeah. But I'm glad you're here. I want to help you fall asleep. If you're new, here's what to expect. You can expect the dullest version of unexpected ever. Because you say, what have you talked about so far? I'm not clear. I'm following you. And I say, okay, good. So far, so good then. Really, my intentional techniques are my oblong intentional techniques are totally working. The oblong method. That one sounds pretty good. The oblong method. How about, has there ever been I'm not a songwriter, but how about, and I don't know if the Big Bopper ever said oblong a ding dong. You know, I think you need one more punch in there, though. Oblong a ding dong. I'm not supposed to sing on this podcast, so I'm more mumbling. It's like a two syllable oblong. A dong, something. It can't be a dong, a ding dong. A scoop band boot. Oblong, a shoot, a scoot bing bang boot. And I'm Scoots. By the way, it's a sleep podcast. If you're new, it just cleaned a rug. So I don't know if that's what's going on with me. But so I'm glad you're here. If you're new, structurally. First 6 minutes of the show are business. We got to do that up front because it's a sleep podcast. Then there's an intro, and I don't have my display on. So I think we're probably 4 or 5 minutes in the intro, though it's felt like 3 or 4 years with the double embarrassment. I've been, they call it vulnerability around here, these parts. My well-adjusted side says, Scooch, you don't need to be embarrassed for being vulnerable. You just let your guard down. It's fine. And I say, how come I record the podcast you're around, but with the rest of the day, where are you? Even at bedtime, out helping other people, Scoots. Oh, Are you the same dude from Silicon Valley that's in the Verizon commercials? How'd you get in my brain? Okay, that must have left. Thomas Middlech. I can't say the Oh, man. So I'm glad you're here. If you're new, so there's an intro. It's long. It's rambly. It has a lot of meanders and... I think I'm on. I don't think I'm off. I think I'm on. It's probably the adrenaline I picked up cleaning this rug, which I'll get to. That'll get us right off anything interesting. But so if you're new, there's an intro. It's about 12 minutes. And then tonight we'll be talking about our episodic story. It'll be the final episode, actually, the wrap up after the glass slipper. And then. So there'll be a story that'll be at about 15 minutes. It'll be about 45 minutes of story. Then some thank yous at the end. So if you're new, clearly you don't need to listen to me. I think you've already put that together. But you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here rambling to keep you company in the deep, dark night. I'm actually not even here to put you to sleep. You shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep. I'll just be here as your companion, as your boyfriend, your boar bay, your boar cuz, your boar sib. Whatever you're comfortable calling me, boar dude, you know, that's fine. Boar, you know why you call me boar guy? I'd say I'd be happy. Like that boar guy. I think a lot of kids call me that to listen to the podcast. Mom, can you put on that boar guy? One day, that way say, when I used to dream, when I used to watch WTPIX as a kid, and there would be the ad for the lullaby of old Broadway, the Milford Plaza, you know, I wouldn't dream of my names in lights. I would dream of getting to the Milford Plaza and having the staff put on a Broadway performance while they check me in. But I guess I never knew to dream of having my name in the boar guy up in lights, and maybe I'll get to choose between incandescent and LED or whatever the other one is. So you don't need to listen to me. You're under no pressure to fall asleep. I'm glad you're here. And I just cleaned a rug. Like, let's talk enough about you. How about me? And this is one of the things that keeps me up at night. At some point, I had bought a rug, kind of as a joke to put in my living room when I moved into this apartment, which was a while ago. And it was a friend, a forest friend, kind of like if you think Karate Kid, but the other team, like that forest friend. And it was a rug, and it was like a pixelated picture of a forest friend, which means a creature that lives in the forest. And I quickly realized that when my daughter would be talking about this rug in therapy years from now, I wouldn't like that wouldn't be one I would want to have to go in and explain. So now that rug's in the climbing closet where I record the podcast. And I don't know if you have any trouble sleeping, if you can relate to this, but this is all the stuff that goes through my brain at bedtime. So then at some point I didn't have a rug. And I don't know. I don't know if I cared or not, but at some point, this thing, right when I went to sleep, said, how come you got a rug in your living? You just got that floor. Like, how are you going to ever be a grown-up without a rug? Like, have you ever heard of an area rug or a throw rug? And I say, I've heard of those things, but I don't know. Like, it seems to be, are you going to ever have people over? Not planning on it, no. Well, the rug might be nice anyway. And I said, okay, great. I'm going to go to sleep, though. Well, I'd like to think about this rug. Like, think about why you don't have a rug in your living room. What kind of person does that? And I say, well, look, I'm trying to go to sleep here. So that was one voice. So that voice actually got to me, because then one time I was in IKEA, and I think I was actually trying to find a rug for my hallway so I wouldn't have to listen to my dog when she goes from my daughter's room to the living room, which is my bedroom, you know, glamorous life of a sleep podcaster. But then I was in IKEA and I saw this rug and I said, well, that's not bad. Let me see how much it is. And I guess like a cheap person alert, anything over $49, I usually am like, whoa, what? But this was a wool rug and it had gray in it, which is, you know, I like to match my furnishings to my permanent mood. So I said, well, that is a gray. It does have gray in there. It actually will match some stuff. And it's wool. I heard wool rugs are good. And it was, I think it was like $200, which to me, I was like, I know you can spend like thousands and thousands of dollars on good rugs. Which you hear the rest of the story, you'll know why I don't. And then why I can relate, because I have trouble falling asleep. That's why I want to help you. But so I got this rug. And you know who loved the rug other than I said, well, this isn't bad. It's warm on my feet. It makes less noise. You know, it does have to be vacuumed, which I'm not so good at. And like it gets scrunched and stuff. But another thing that happened was my dog loved it. She said, what I love to do is like scratch my back on this wool, especially after I've been rolling around in the dirt outside. So it became her hobby. She said, I said, what do you like to do? And she said, other than go for WALKs and eat TREATSs? And I said, yes, you know, because I'm here to help. And she said, what I love to do, she said, I'm so glad you got me this rug. It's great. This is like my new thing. Go outside, roll around in the driveway. Then I come in here and I roll around. And I said, well, what exactly do you like about it? She said, everything. It feels good. She goes, I actually have a goal even. I'm trying to get my smell, especially when I haven't bathed in a week. I want to cover the whole rug in it. So then I know it's my rug because I know you got it for me. And I said, okay, can we carry on this conversation another night when I can't sleep because I got to go to bed? And then that other voice said, what the heck are you doing with that rug? It's not the dog's rug. Can't you? And I said, well, it's a shared rug then. We live in a, you know, it's a communal household. And I'm going to sleep. And a couple nights later, I said, well, and this is like, I've had the rug for probably a year. So I got to give that voice some credit. And it said, man, that rug smells like a dog. And I said, you're right. And then again, I don't need to start with the litany of lists or whatever we talked about in the past that these parts of our brain could give us. But it said, what kind of person has a dog, a rug that smells like a dog? I said, well, clearly I do. And it said, like, again, and then something, I've been trying to grow up a little bit. So I said, you know what, I'll look on the internet. I think I looked on the internet like 4 months ago on how to clean a rug. And I wasn't emotionally in the place where I could even read the page. And of course, the idea of going to a supermarket and renting one of those rug things to just clean like a 6x4 rug. Yeah, the emotional rigor that would take is not my, it doesn't suit me. But some, this is like a minor miracle. You got it like, what do they call it? Big magic. Like this is a little piece of little magic. Some part of me said, let's clean that rug, buddy. And I said, who said that? Thomas Middle, Thomas. And I said, yep, we're going to clean that rug. Get on the internet. And it turns out I went on the internet. It's easy if you decide to do it. Like you take it outside, you vacuum it, which I did last week. I had to spread it out because, again, I'm not exactly like I'm pretty sure in the like Freud and I don't want to brag, but Freud and Jung have sent me missives across the time-space continuum. And they said all it said was, we got Einstein looking into you. .. So I figure that's, so I vacuumed it last week. And then this week I said, let me wash this thing. And it just happens to be a fall heat wave here. And you know what? The little victories, I washed it this morning, early in the morning, and then hung it out all day to dry and air out. I haven't smelled it yet. I'm a little worried, but I did like soap it and rinse it. And yeah, so, you know, there is hope. I mean, if I smell it, like, at least I'll be able to say to myself when I try to go to sleep tonight, like, I did clean it. Like, maybe we'll let it air out another day or two outside while it stays warm. And I don't know if I can interrupt that flow of thought for you, that you could listen to me. Or maybe another thing, I mean, I'm glad I can provide this service for a lot of listeners. You could say, oh, boy, I saw I really got things in order. If that's what Scoots is really like on the inside, we're really doing a great job. So I say, great, yeah, if you can handle these things, bravo, and I'm glad to help you fall asleep. But if you can relate or metaphorically relate, I'm glad I'm here to help you too. That's all I want to do because I've been there almost on a nightly basis. I have to say, hey, you know what? Can I go to sleep, please? I got to, or I try to like, you know, breathe and stuff like that. So this podcast is meant to take your mind off stuff, to be your companion. I appreciate you trying the show out. Give it a few tries. Doesn't work for everybody, but most of the people it works for were very skeptical coming in. They said after episode two or three, listening to two or three episodes, they said, oh, okay, now I get that I don't get it, and I fall asleep. As I said already, I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming by. Really hoping I really earned to help you fall asleep, all right? All right, before we get to Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Owen. Hey, everybody. Scoots, it's time for our final episode of this season's After the Glass Slipper, our episodic modular series. This is like the kind of the recap, but usually I do a recap, but this one, Agatha wanted to do her own recap and have a class party. So it's a recap of kind of the season, but mostly her kind of talking, I think, and going through things. So I guess this would be not as episodic. This episode you probably want to listen to after you listen to the whole season. But if you're going to bed, believe me, this will get you right in there. There's a bunch of sleeping babies in this. So here's another episode. Hey, my friend, as the ladies, as the gentlemen, is the boys, the girls, is the friends beyond the binary. It's time for another episode. This is the final episode of After the Glass Slipper. Yeah. Thanks, Antonio. Thanks, everybody. Good night. Hello, everyone. This is Agatha. Hello, babies. Hello, anyone listening in. This is mostly my message for those of you who are listening in to me, because here we are at the class party. So hello, class. You will all, I don't know how we decided to have, well, I know I invited everyone into my room, which is now also the nursery. It's technically not the nursery, though. That's just the only term we have for it, because it's the place where the babies nap, which is one it's a unifunction. It's a niche nursery niche, a niche of nurseries, which is my collection of bedtime stories for entrepreneurs. Remember Clifford? He was the entrepreneur. He was causing me all the trouble years ago. But, oh, here we are. My letter man is awake. The babies are waking and asleep. And next to each baby is a student. Oh, my students. And here with me is Shelley, my co-teacher. And children of the class, I'd like you all meet letter man, who is my beau. There will be no letter man related questions unless I'm really feeling loose-lipped and you know, really enjoying myself as I answer, as we go through this class evaluations. But my letterman is here to field questions, because he's a man of letters. And as a man of letters, he knows a lot about ancient stories. I think it's like ingrained in your papyrus, right, my dear? Oh, yes, hello, students. Hello, babies. Babies, I've been napping with you for quite some. I am the letter man. And it is my honor, my indubitable honor. Okay, letter man, maybe I will speak for you. Since I'm the I'm not ready to have a third co-teacher. Like Shelley, who did a wonderful, oh, Shelley, I hope you're enjoying your punch. That's a water. I hope you're enjoying your water, Shelley. I also had punch made, and I, believe it or not, to answer a question that may be in these evaluations, yes, as a lentil-based woman, I can. I wish I had a lentil-based detail, but I think we'll go through these evaluations. We'll discuss a little bit about the class and how it went, because my letterman was a big, I did not credit him as a he was helping me prepare for the course, and he always likes to review, and the letterman has done. Do you know my letterman writes letters? He writes me love letters. Oh, what a man of letters. That's why I call you a man of letters. Though you are currently neither a man nor a letter, you are both both things and neither. Much like, I guess you are. You're a letter-based man, or you're a papaya. Anyway, not important. So we are here with my students, and our last class day was, and you all came, except for that one young person. What was his name? Carlo. Carlo, I know you're here. I was just giving you a hard time. Of course I know you're here, Carlo. How could I miss you? Oh, and all my students. Oh, the wide range of faces and even ages. And to those of you from far, far away in other kingdoms, and oh, it has been an honor to teach you, and I really felt like I was the one being educated. And all of these babies have heard more about your class, and I think that's why when I said Carlo's name, that one baby, what noise did that baby make? Was that a squink squanch when I said Carlo? Yes, Carlo, I'm trying to make you giggle. What if I say, but, does that make you, yes, I figured as much. But I think we should go through these evaluations. Now, Shelley and I did have a separate, Shelley wanted to also have a separate party. And I said, by the way, Shelley, don't make me have Cinderella issue an edict. We will have one party together. You know, Shelley, sometimes, right, Shelley, you're enjoying yourself, but Shelley and I also had separate evaluations. Now, Shelley's evaluations were multiple choice with bubbles to be filled in. And I know some of you enjoyed that, and I hope you gave honest answers, because I saw a lot of bubble drawings. And I said, is that an accident or is Shelley that brilliant? Or are the children messing around? Because Shelley really, this is important to Shelley. And I think a round of applause is due for my co-teacher Shelley for one, putting up with me, for two, dealing with me, for three, giving beyond her best effort. I think, Shelley, you really gave beyond your best effort. And for that, I hope you are proud of yourself because you deserve it. You had a, it was an uphill climb being a co-teacher with me. And I have the utmost confidence in you that you will make an excellent accountant one day. No, I'm kidding, Shelley, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Though these bubbles with the multiple choice, I'm sure the alchemist, the one with the that steam machine, the steampunks, they may, Shelley, you may be the future leader. Yeah, but Shelley, your efficiency, your accuracy, your fairness, which really, Shelley, you are revolutionary if you're caring about the preservation of the important aspects of your culture, which are all aspects, and that they shouldn't be lost, and that these tales, while similar to other tales, the specific retelling of them and the deep meanings in both them is a reflection and a viewpoint and a manner of, it is to be exposed to all of this through both my eyes and your eyes, says Shelley, is such a, okay, does a lentil-based woman have eyes? I know the questions, Carlo. Okay, I will get to it. So, really, Shelley, it is, I have learned so much. I can see these students, and more importantly, I could hear the echoes of it in the community outside of the walls of the classroom. And I hope these important lessons carry us forward with one foot in the past to say, hey, there's some important stuff back here. We can't just move on or something. I don't have you know what I mean, Shelley. Great jobs. Oh, I know I give you a hard time. And, you know, it's because Letterman, you could tell the people I'm not nice to. Well, there's two kinds of, this is when I treat you like this, it is, when I treat you politely, Shelley, that's when you know I'm giving you a burn. But when I try to give you a burn, that's when you know I love you, because it's the war, it is how my heart, Letterman, tell her. Okay, so Letterman kind of winked at you, Shelley. So, let's see, where should we start here with the first tale, which we, so let's see what, you know, I just asked some open-ended questions, and I made it specific. You could ask me questions or make comments, but only one lentil-based woman question per student, despite your curiosity. So, Clam King and Manello, we had a great discussion about it, and a lot of you pointed out, because I guess the Letterman, it was tutoring some of you, the similarities between the tale of Demeter and Persephone's in Hades. And I said, oh boy. Well, that was because the Letterman and I, we were pretty pre-researching these myths, as I knew you would be researching them and post-researching them. And believe it or not, as a hard time as I'm giving Shelley, we're working on a new book, which we Shelley and I can't agree on even a subtitle of it, but we will be comparing, like, what are the similarities between Clam King and Binella and Demeter and Persephone? And there are some things that are similar, but, you know, Clam King lived under the sea. And this was, it was still the world of the living under sea creatures in some of the stories, but then sometimes it changed, like towards the end of the year. But how that was kind of a story, a love story, a story about the seasons, and actually is more than one love story. Like you had the mother's love for the daughter. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Persephone one, but it's pretty much the same. Just it was different too, I guess. Let a Man knows more than I do. But that had the mother's love. It has romantic love. It has the non-glamorous sides of that. But the fairy myth, much more. I mean, if you don't mind me saying so, it had these other loves, the love of atmosphere around the whole of Earth. I still love thinking about atmosphere holding me in this entire planet in her arms. Oh, and keeping the air we breathe in, what could be that? She may be my favorite goddess. And I realize that Shelley says, well, sometimes it's they. And I say, okay, well, my feminine aspects I align with the atmospheres, I believe. So, but how the air we breathe is contained in her embrace. Oh, atmosphere, and how her enstroid gave birth to a hero. And at least in this tale, how the hero just said, hey, let me help you build consensus, I think, is the, maybe that was a term I learned from Clifford. And I think that's it. That was what I summarized from all of your comments. Most of you thought, some of you said you would eat the Clam King. And, you know, some of you said, well, and you know, I like Bianella, was Bianella a lentil-based woman? No, but good question. But let me see what some of these lentil questions are. How old are you? No, won't be answering that. A lot of questions. If it rains, will I sprout? Do I need a rain slicker? I think a lot of these will be answered when I try to explain a lot of these lentil-based questions, children, which kind of goes with the theme of the class. I liked this was a question, but really a comment. Why don't you smell weird? You smell good, a bit like cinnamon or nutmeg or cloves. And I'll tell you what, that has a concrete answer, because I have integrated those things, because I do like to smell good, and I like the air to smell good. And because I'm a lentil-based woman, I can have those things. I can say, I could call down. I say, give me some more cloves, grind them, and put them in a paper packet, and my letterman will carry them to me. Will I marry the letterman? That's a good question. That's an awkward question, letterman, because, you know, these are things best left for us to discuss with one another. And I'll tell you, it kind of goes to these broader questions of, what does it mean to be a lentil-based woman? And what does it mean to be possibly a papyrus-based man or whatever? Like, I can't speak for my letterman, but I can tell you the love I have for him is deep and whole. But I also can't say that a union between us is possible. But as a lentil-based woman, I say my perspectives have greatly changed. When I was a human-based woman, I saw one timeline. And now I see a timeline that is both much longer and both much shorter. And that makes me think about think about it from my perspective. I'm going to marry a man who could be blown away by the wind. Let him in. Yes, I'm giving you a hard time. Maybe I'd say if someone also would bother to ask, that may be another issue. But I could do the asking if I wished it. Okay, on to the next one, which was Daymag and Jalad. Even the letterman was the first one to point out to me that this was much like the tale of Gilgamesh. Is it right? I much prefer the version the Picard tells. When you told me about the bard Picard, letterman. Gilgamesh, I believe, is that who it is, the letterman? Oh, you're busy with Carlo joking around. Carlo, don't make the letterman into a paper airplane to teach me a lesson. Do not do that. But that brought up a lot of good comments that I'm seeing here about what is friendship, what is romance, like what is the difference between being friends and being in love, which I can tell some of you discovering both things, and it can be confusing sometimes. And it can be both things, or it could be one or the other. Well, maybe not. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't have all the answers, clearly. And I think we did talk a lot about the empty 1% that was trying, you know, the Demag and Gilad. Oh, Winfield, that was the other teller that sold the great tale of Dalmark and Gilad, which was another influence possibly for this tale. Or what is amazing is a pair of, like a myth, the monomyth, I think they call it, or bits of the monomyth. Letterman, didn't you say something about that? I was falling asleep, but I remember you talking about the monomyth. Is Demag and who would be better friends? Demag and Gilad. Temba at rest, thank you. But Demag and Gilad, or who is it? Gilgamesh and Urag or something. You're laughing at me now. Oh, Dalmark. Dalmark and Gilad. Gilead. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not a perfect. I'm still a human. At least I, you know, that's who I still make mistakes. A lentil-based woman or I'm still a carbon-based being. Okay, let me look at some of these other questions. Susie, what music would I like to bring with me? What musicians would I bring if I was stranded somewhere? Oh, that is a good question, and thank you for not asking any lentil-based questions. Though I do love them. I love how interested you are in those things, children. Oh, what I would bring the Bard of Mystery, of course, because he is a brilliant Bard of Mystery who travels this land, singing a song every day that he travels. Oh, the man of Jonathan's. I would bring, speaking of Uraks, Urak of Ukulele, who plays the small ukulele. And that makes my hips to sway when I hear that. So I would have that as a musician. What is it? Tina the trombone. Well, that was a trombone. That was a person that was turned into a trombone. Thank you, Letterman. So that would be a 2-for-1. She is a musical instrument. I guess I should connect with her to see what it's like being a trombone-based woman. Who play, you know, you'd play yourself. That would be interesting. What other musicians would I bring? Probably like a chorus. I wouldn't mind a chorus, you know, that would sing along with me. And one of the more popular singers with the catchy tunes in the square. Something I could dance to, because I do like to dance. Or flow. I guess it would depend on, who else would I pick? I don't know. That's a good question, though. I think those would be the other thing I would probably put out an application process to say, what do you do good at other than being a musician? So then I could see, because I remember one time, Pilkington, I listened to him discuss the same question. And many people were laughing. I laughed very hard. It was at he was one of the famous jesters. He was being interviewed by the Gervais, and they said, "What would you bring to a desert island? Whom?" And his answer. So I would probably take some of his answers just to get the laughs. But for music, maybe. I don't know. What is the one that is like a piano, but it plucks? I would like that, probably. But I don't know if you could bring that to an island. So I hope that answers that question. Okay, so the next tale we told was about the girl without birdsong and her terrible father, I don't know if her mother, we didn't really weigh in on her. But we, Letterman and I, looked at other tales, and there is a famous tale, and it was these two traveling, they were just storytellers, the Grimms, And they had collected one about the girl who hid her hands. And it is a similar tale. Theirs is a little more, it explains a specific, it points you to a particular belief system. And Girl Without Birdsong was incredibly confusing to the point of, at least in my experience, not a judgment on you children, but where I said, what would you even believe in if you were in this world? Because she really had a go of things. And either tale is the my letterman told me about this girl with the hiding hands from the Greems. And then I asked him, is the Greems also the alchemy about the two children in the alchemists? And the letterman was very excited by that tale because he said, well, it could be one about a mother-in-law or stepmother or Hansel and Gretel. And I said, Hansel and Gretel, oh, I like how that sounds. But that was about, you know, having to go deep in the woods to fend for yourself and then figure out how to solve your problems. So that was a good one. And that one didn't seem to stir anything too much in you children. So I said, but the Girl Without Birdsong, that was quite a story. And a lot of you seem to be interested. Okay, let's go on to more questions here. Can I turn myself into a rain stick or a musical instrument? I guess I could, but I would prefer to hire a musician. I do like to sing. And, you know, we could get into, but we don't need to get into all the biomechanics of being a lentil-based woman. But, you know, we'll touch on some of that soon. Okay, there's a lot of questions here. Let me look through all these pages here. There's that one. Let's see. Okay, those are good questions. So there's questions about eating, my inability, which is bold. I can't believe you would put that on a thing with your name. I was proud of the children that asked that question because they were curious about it. My inability, my feedability, separation, like a lentil loss. I guess no one asked about the lentil. Someone took some of my lentils, but that's a question. Drinking, eating. I guess those are separate questions from my lentils. Okay, so there's to be consumed, and then my consumption habits are two sets of questions that I could answer right now. Could I use my lentils to sustain someone? I believe I could, but that would be again a I don't foresee that happening. Cinderella's our leader right now, and she's a very good queen. And she's prepared for most of the things. There could be some sort of unprepared thing that could come up, but I don't anticipate it. I'm not as palatable as, you know, because I'm rolling around. I guess I would say don't, you know, I would not recommend it. I was thinking about it in a self-sacrifice form. But when you think about it, like, you know, as a bigger... so I wouldn't recommend it. I guess I would say probably not a good idea. Now, what if some of my lentils get lost, or do they need to be replenished? And this would be a question for the great philosophers, and they have debated it. And I said, do not talk about me behind my back. And so I will start attending the fall philosophers' meetings so they can discuss me in my presence. And there are some schools of thought that the loss of my lentils represents my aging. And, you know, that I'm still going through a process just like you are, where I'm always changing at a very slow pace. And that's one that I accept. The other one is that there is some growth in my mass, which goes to the inability question, being out and about. that may be lentil-like, or particles that are much smaller than lentils, like dust in the air, and those things. And also to go to the consumption question. Now, this is maybe also in the realm of philosophy, curiosity, humanity, and reality all coming together. And this is something like I had to decide on my own and with the Letterman, and then consulting some of the better minds and some of the more curious minds. So some of our stranger denizens or citizens here gave me some great input on these questions as I adjusted to being a lentil-based woman, which has its ups and its downs, just like it being based anything, anything-based anything. You know, once your mind starts to T-H-I-N-K, it could just, so, do I need to eat? No. Do I eat physical food? No. Because should I eat physical food? No, because I'm a lentil-based woman. And because I don't have a organ like you do of the stomach, it probably isn't a good idea to just absorb things willy-nilly. Now, to go to the question of, oh, what a bummer. Do I role-play eat? Yes, all of the time. And so I do role-play eat, and basically I could do it by myself or with my letterman, or even Cinderella will feed me and bake me something, but it will be imaginary, and I will consume it, and I have gotten very good at this, and maybe it is not the same, but I have become to enjoy those moments when I have myself a treat. But do I get hungry? Not really. Do I crave the nostalgia and the feelings from having treats? Yes. So that is what the role play does. And it can be all mental, or it can involve a physical, like a lentil candy bar I make for myself or something like that. Now, on to the more amazing questions of do I eat? The answer is actually yes. I am actually in my own functioning ecosystem or biome. I am no longer simply just a lentil-based woman. I am much more than that because I've existed here now, since being changed into lentils and cooked and then dried back out and then having my consciousness imbued and then moving. There's two important aspects to this. One is I do get thirsty, which I think is a function of some of my collective, what you would call parts of your brain. I believe that is now... I am not just an individual, I am also a community, and I don't exactly know how that works, but even before my community of my biome or whatever had greatly expanded, I do need to monitor. Well, I don't even need to monitor. I get thirsty and I get water, or I have let a man pour me some water. And then I'm not thirsty anymore. If it's raining, I will rain. I won't need to drink water. Or if it's humid, I may or may not. So I don't dry out. And all of my community members within me that I am both a part of and that are a part of me, there is, I would say, collective wisdom, or just like your brain stem, I think is what they say. It handles all that. So it says, hey, Agatha, I'm feeling thirsty. Now, if only chocolate cake, or, if only some part of my biome needed chocolate cake, and then I could eat it and say, okay, it's going to go and dissipate where it needs to be. But I say, well, I don't know what those sugars would do. So I think I should answer all the eating and edibility questions, which are very good and very fair questions, and it doesn't always make a lot of sense. Which would blow your mind is that I'm always changing, just like you are. And, and they talk about, what do they say, by whatever, I don't know, things they're discovering about me, they say, I wonder if that's going on with yogurt. They say, you should eat your yogurt. Because that's what my whole life is like, that different things going on within me. Let's see what other questions I have here for the time being. Let's move on to the next lesson, which was the frog song. And my good friend, the letterman, pointed out, again, with these dreams, that the juniper tree was a tale that was very similar, but different at the same time. The ending, I guess in this one, I guess what is interesting to me when we talk about these myths of the fairy people, because the fairy people, the primary, you know, most humans like me were different from you fairy people in that, or at least me, I can only speak of myself, I guess. You know, even when I made these good choices, like, you know, making myself into a Lentil-based woman to save your kingdom, most of the time I'm worried about Agatha, and I'm ego-driven. It just happens to be how we're made up, so please don't judge us. It's just part of being a human. I think we're from hunting and gathering. We don't come from Shroid like all of you fairy people do. So most humans are inwardly focused a lot of the time, or outwardly focused to the ego on achieving things, like my friend Clifford was, being a preneur and being the top dog. You fairy people are much more help-based. You are always seem to be driven, not just in your belief system. This is what I think is important to point out. But your wonderful existence, one of your primary drives, and the way I guess I started to believe is that you are fed on some energy-based level, maybe, or maybe you're just a darn good people, is to help others. So I think there was a difference in these myths, is that, once the boy... He says, well, let me get my father back and get rid of my stepmother and head her out to the big farm in the sky. In the juniper tree one, in the frog song, the boy is also kind of trying to help soothe and help these other people solve the things, just like some of you do. And I think that is amazing, and that is why, Penelope... is such a heroine to me, Cinderella's fairy godmother, even though I don't mention her much because of jealousy, because I'm still an ego-based woman and lentil-soaked ego, or something, I don't know, but that is just who I am. So that is that tale, and I did really like both of those. And it had a lot of magic in it and some strange things like the mother kissing the frog. It brought up strong feelings with the letterman of, he was even telling me about the Milton of Chaucer, another storyteller, and a lot of people being constantly saying, well, don't mess, I don't want to be masculated or something. And they said, well, kissing a frog is just symbolic. Don't be a buffoon. Let's go through the rest of the class, then I'll try to answer some more of your questions. Then the statue, the love of the statues. This had a lot of, Letterman said, well, this reminds me of Aphrodite and a lot of the Adonis, Pygmalion, and anchovy or something. I can't read your writing, Letterman. But it was also quite different. And Letterman got a kick out. Letterman was not familiar with that tale about a giant statue, a human being in love with a statue that came to life and created a whole movement. And he said, maybe you could go from a lentil-based woman to like a 16-foot lentil statue. And I said, Letterman, it is essential for me to my water balance to be correct. I don't think I could be a statue and maintain my water balance because I would need. I said, that's why I'm like, I have to be in a lentil pit. I said, that's where I was created. And that's where I said, unfortunately, I can't be a statue. I can take a small human form, the same size as I am now as your teacher. I look, Like, I don't know what I look like to you, students, but I know I've earned most of your respect. You know, I look like a small lentil statue. So I think there was a question about Dancing Groot, Baki, the gods of Westerosa. Oh, in the Gudarnian galaxy. Those are different tree gods. And I guess I could sprout, as the earlier question said. But let me move on. So that was the Aphrodite. My tales. Well, let a man compare some of my tales. Proserpine and Philomena. That's one of... as Letterman told me, it did sound familiar a little bit to my situation, but not the same, but not great either. Then Orpheus and Eurydice, is that what that says? That was Shelley's tale, or similar, Letterman saying, in the tale, and that was again going back to Binella, and the Clam King, or Demeter, and whatever you said earlier, I don't even remember anymore. Persephone, thank you, Kahalo. I'm glad you're listening. Too bad I can't give you a extra A or something. Extra cake you may have, Carlo, and everyone else, if you want extra cake or punch, go ahead and help yourself. Shelley, you should even treat yourself to a cube of ice. Brought in from the Ice Kingdom this morning. Okay, so let's get back to some of these questions. I'm running through here. What do I like to eat? I kind of answered that. Imaginary treats. Would I return to a human form if a wizard could do it? I don't know if I would. It would be easy to. I don't think I could because I am this collective now, and I know I wouldn't be able to know what would happen to the rest of my community if I was to transfer back to human form. I mean, I definitely think about it. I would weigh the pros and the cons, biome members. I wouldn't I wouldn't do it willy-nilly. I would think about it. What are the disadvantages of being a lentil-based woman? A pit of lentils, which is the same thing. I mean, let's be honest here. Lentil-based community, you could say. Wow, the disadvantages. It's more of the changes you have to accept. I can't eat anymore. I don't really drink other than water. I was already in a relationship kind of with a letter-based man, so that aspect of our relationship has always been creative, we'll say, because you're children. And actually, it's very exciting. I mean, I guess that wouldn't be, it would be a challenge, not a disadvantage, romance between a pit of lentils and a letter-based person, a papyrus-based person. You just have to, Shelley, you know what I'm saying, don't you? Babies don't listen. So those would be, I guess you could call them disadvantages, but I would say changes, that I still have the mind, my mind and my memories. So I guess it is a disadvantage, constantly being on the alert for forlorn spirits, for Agatha, saying, poor Agatha, I'm just a pit of lentils. I have to have a purpose, which I've learned from, believe it or not, even more so from Shelley and all of you students. If I can find a guiding principle, I won't be a wallowing pit of lentils or wallowing in my own pit of lentils. And that is the biggest disadvantage. It's easy to wallow when you're already kind of wallowing. Also, movement is kind of a hassle. Like I said, we needed inventors to get me around other rooms with the pumping and things. Sometimes I could feel a little gummy if I'm not getting the right water. It can be, you know, it can be, you can, I'm not normally a self-conscious person, but, you know, it can bring up yourself, you know, that you're not a normal person anymore. But I've had to accept those things, and I guess I sometimes I have to do that on a daily basis. But I have things I never had before this. Cinderella's respect and forgiveness, the love of a letter man. The respect of a lot of community members, the opportunity to service and earn respect from people like Shelley. And I also am okay that I'm being a pit of lentils isn't perfect. I've lost my need to be more than what I am. Oh, boy, that is deep. That was a good question. I may be changing your grade, Alec. Okay, what are the advantages to being a pit of lentils? I guess the same thing, kind of. Also, if it was a costume ball, I can tap on people's shoulders and then get back in the pit, and they don't know who tapped their shoulder. You know, sometimes people will say things in front of me because they forget I'm there, or they think I don't matter and I'm not listening. And I would say that even though I'm new with this being a communal biome, that's really opening my mind up. It's really mind-blowing, somehow connecting. I say, what is that? Was that a unicellular brain? What was that thought? It was so simple. I don't know. I can't quite put it into words, but I think that's an advantage. Okay, Lentils, is this on the test? That was a good one. No. Oh, this question comes from Carlo. How many lentils are within me? I would say an infinite number. Oh, you gambled on it. Very funny. That was, you gambled with little Cindy there. Okay. That was faith about exercise. Yeah, I think I kind of answered that. Kathleen there, Jen, was it on the test, Robin, what do I eat? I kind of answered that. Where's my brain? I think I kind of answered that for you. All around me. Maureen, do I regret being lentils? No. What human body, what human thing do I miss the most? I don't know. You know, I was always driven more by acquiring and rising than my close relationships. So I think what I miss the most is my heart and the body parts, some of the body parts that could be associated with your heart. Because I don't think I exercised that enough. Some of the closeness things. But now I have an opportunity to do it in a new way. But I would say I do miss, but that may just be, you know, me beginning of a new wallowing. What surprised me, I kind of talked about that. Every day is, when you're a pit of lentils, every day is a surprise. It sounds trite, but it's true. Yes, we're wondering, this student was not comfortable mentioning that I'm a pit of lentils. Well, A+, I'll be changing that grade. Thank you, Alexandra. Oh, this came up, I think, is Amanda. Am I cooked or dry? I'm both. I'm dry. I was cooked once, and then I was dried out. Now I've kind of changed. I say I'm a lentil-based woman because I'm lentil-based. I'm not purely lentils anymore. But that's the most familiar concept. I try to maintain a lentil-like form because it flows very well. And it looks much more appealing to you, all of you, which is more acceptable. At least I believe, like I said, I'm not a perfect person. I still think these thoughts, you know, that I can't just be myself. But I don't know. I like to look nice. Is there something wrong with that, too? Colleen was asking him about my bone broth recipe. Okay, here's what you do. You get two ogres or orgs or whatever they're called. I forget what those, and you have them low boil and they stir it for 24 hours. So you probably need about 6 of them to do it in shifts. And you have to pay strict attention because of the buffoons. Oh, here's a question. Do I go to the party, number 102? I don't, but I do a lot of off-gassing. Yes, I knew you'd laugh at that, Carlo, but it's true. Has anyone tried? What does this say here? Oh, I'm hearing the bell, so that means that it's time for everyone to go home. That is the bell for all of you to go home. So I'm glad I could answer some of your questions. And it really has been an honor teaching all of you. Oh, what a joy. And I hope all of you, I wish the best for all of you students. And I hope if you want to come back and nap with the babies, I'll be here all summer. I won't be teaching, but you could come back and nap in between the babies as I rest them. And thank you, Shelley. Thank you, my letter man. Thank you for listening, students, and teaching me so. And rest well with babies as I, doesn't everyone take a little nap today? Climb into your cots, pull up your little rugs, and snuggle in with the babies as I say goodnight. All right, I want to thank everybody that's become a patron to support the show. Amy, Bobby, and Nancy, thanks so much, and good night. Amanda, Andy, and Emily, thank you, and good night. JCW, Terry with an I, and Tema. Thank you, and good night. Lynette, Leah, and Michelle. Thank you, and good night. Ava, Bryce, and Elliot. Thank you, and good night. David, Amantha, and Brenda. Thank you, and good night. Saban, Mai Chi, and Soul J. Thank you and good night. Rebecca, CM, and Angela, thank you. Thanks and good night. Jacob, Sandy, and Mary, thank you and good night. Kurt, Jackie, and Laura, thank you and good night. Jason, Susan, and Rob, thank you and good night. Jan, John, and Amy, thank you and good night. Marcia, Kimber and Jenny, thank you and good night. Abby, Michael and Wanda, thank you and good night. Anne, Carol and Sarah, thank you and good night. Mariana, Susan and Christopher, thank you and good night. Sarah, Marissa and Chloe, thanks and good night. Carrie, Astronaut, and Alicia, thanks and good night. Samara, Layla, and Matthew, thanks and good night. Eric, Jake, and Abby, thanks and good night. Over on Venmo, I want to thank Patrick, Celeste, and Krista. Thank you so much. Thanks for the support. And I also want to thank Stephanie, Ryan, and Katie on PayPal, and Megan, Ken, and Allison. Thank you. Thanks and good night. Rebecca, Madeline, and Andrea. Thank you and good night. Pedreg, Elizabeth, and Sandy. Thank you and good night. Kelly, Jason, David and Andrew, thanks so much, and thanks and good night. Thanks everybody for supporting the show, and good night. Sleep well.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict for this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is I think this is the I think this is the boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes, nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2. Almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support@supercast.com. And good night.